on this edition of The Self-Publishing Show.
Whether it's through traditional publishing or indie publishing, like there's the same questions and exercises that you can go through to, you know, start narrowing down so that once it comes time to social media content, writing, you know, email newsletters, creating ads, you know, thinking of keywords, going through and really determining the audience and getting clear on the message is the first step to really do anything that you would need to do in the implementation stage.
Publishing is changing. No more gatekeepers. No more barriers. No one standing between you and your readers. Do you want to make a living from your writing? Join indie bestseller Mark Dawson and first-time author James Blatch as they shine a light on the secrets of self-publishing success. This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Hello and welcome. It is The Self-Publishing Show on a Friday with me, James Blatch.
And me, Mark Dawson.
It's been a long time since we've actually recorded one of these, Mark. Can we remember how to do it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think we'll manage. I think I've pressed the right buttons. We'll see.
I'll tell you what has happened. The screen recording has stopped the Ashes playing.
Oh dear.
I don't think it's actually stopped them playing cricket, but it's stopped the Sky streaming because obviously they don't want people to stream and record their Ashes. So it's a tense afternoon in North London, but South London, but we shan't mention cricket. Although I follow this girl on TikTok and she's massive into cricket in America and they've just launched MLC, Major League Cricket in America.
Okay.
So I doubt it's going to be the next big thing, but it will get...
MLC, it's funny, it's Major League Soccer, Major League Baseball. Well, Major League Baseball, yes, you can get that because it is, you know, it is Major League. But I mean, it's not really Major League Cricket, is it? And I think the Indians might have something to say about that. Indeed, the 100, whatever it's called these days.
100 and the T20 or T20, yeah.
Anyway,
the greatest sport on earth, we shall leave it there. Right, so we're coming up to a busy time. It's the autumn. We're going to be travelling. If you want to come and meet me and Mark in person, come and see us at NINC. We'll have a date for you, an evening where we'll be in a certain place at a certain time if you can't make the conference itself. You don't need a ticket to the conference just to come along and have a drink with us and press the flesh. So that'll be good. That's in Florida in mid-September. And in November, we'll be at Vegas, fabulous Las Vegas, at the Horseshoe Casino and Resort, or whatever it's called, for 20 Books Vegas. Craig Martell's last ever 20 Books Vegas, if you followed that story. Craig, who's been organizing it very well over a few years, is taking a back seat to stepping down from that. And another announcement for us is that Ads for Authors is going to be open in September. On September the 13th, we will open Ads for Authors. This is the course that I use every day of the week to generate oodles. Well, pretty decent income for Fuse Books. And I'm my own books, two and a half books in profit using it. And I have to say, I've been using AI imagery quite a lot recently. I know AI is a controversial subject whenever you mention it, but I have been using the imagery for ads and I'm using it to great effect, starting to have some really positive and good results. So I did notice on the whole legal thing, let's not get into that particularly, but I generated some images for some SPF campaigns and I asked it to imagine an author as a rock star, which goes with this particular episode. An author is a rock star, so you might see these adverts floating about. And the female ones looked, you know, just like kind of nondescript. The male author did look quite a lot like Neil Gaiman, the first one that came back. And I thought, that does look quite a lot like Neil Gaiman. I think it was probably just the idea of an author has glasses and a grey beard might have been it, but who knows?
That's how you just described me.
Well, there you go. Look, three of us, you, yes, me and true. Neil.
Yes. I've seen they're good images. Yeah, I mean, see how they perform. I mean, I'm doing quite a few ads on Atticus at the moment, and as I mentioned to you the other day, the first two books are doing well. It's a 3-book series, but I'm only kind of tracking the first two, and they're making about $200 profit a day at the moment. And that's advertising the first one, and then seeing read through into the second. And yeah, there's no question, it's working. It's Facebook ads as well. It's running Amazon ads too, but it's definitely Facebook ads that are moving the needle on that, which is nice. So the first book has been kind of in the top 40, I'd say, maybe sometimes top 25 now and again over, I suppose, for the last 6 weeks or so. And that's a full price book. You're, well, $2.99.
That's great.
The second book, I think, is $3.99 in the UK, probably a bit more in the States. And these are mainly advertising in the UK, just because they're UK focused books. The second book has been in the top 250, 300. So, I mean, it's been really good. And I'm going to run a countdown deal on the first one at the end of this week, and then really, really hammer the ads, maybe invest a decent chunk for a couple of days on Facebook ads and see how far I can push it up the charts, which is fun. So, yeah, when people say Facebook ads don't work, it's nonsense. They absolutely still work really well, you know, as we've demonstrated.
Yes, they do. And you can ask a couple of our Fuse authors that as well. Okay, look, we'll move on to our interview for today. One other thing I suppose we should mention is that the digital sessions for the conference are being released as this episode is being released, actually on Friday. So Thursday and Friday, that's the 3rd and 4th of August. They'll be available if you're not already enrolled. If you didn't come to the conference, you get it as part of that. Or you can enroll just for $99 and you get a lot of material, not just all the sessions that happened at the conference, professionally filmed, really well filmed, very clear and concise. In addition to that, we have a bunch of workshop sessions that people have created for us. All the work, people from Steve Higgs to Stuart Grant, how to create a website in an hour. We've got BookBub doing sessions in there as well. So two sessions, yeah, by BookBub. So really, really good value for $99. And you can still pick that up at selfpublishingformula.com/digital. I think next week, if we have time, we'll go through exactly what's in that in those sessions in a bit more detail. Okay, Mark, our interview today is Aaron Van Dyke. Aaron runs an organization called Book Rockstar, bookrockstar.com. And I think she's quite an interesting character. I think she's somebody who's come from traditional business and industry and wants to be a part of the burgeoning and growing indie space, as lots of people, you know, the service provision is popping up all over the place. And I'll talk to you about a visit I made this week on that very subject. But Aaron is offering her services to indie authors. And here's your chance to hear a bit more about launching professionally, launching your books and getting the visibility at the right time for you as an author.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Aaron Van Dyke, welcome to the Self-Publishing Show from Book Rockstar. Actually, I'm a bit slightly confused as to where you are, because I thought you had a London address. Then you said you moved to Sweden. Now I'm talking to you, you sound American. So who are you, Aaron?
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a combination of all of those things. So I'm from the US, grew up there, lived there for, I would say, most of my adult life. Moved with my fiance to Sweden for his master's program. We lived there for 2 years. And then his job after his program brought him to London. So now we've been living in London for about 2 years. And it's been great so far. So we're loving it. But originally from the US.
Okay. And whereabouts in the US are you from?
I grew up in Michigan, but lived for about 9 years in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. And now you're in Northern Europe. Oh, well, Sweden's a nice country. London's quite a fun city. So you're seeing the world, the best part of it. Whereabouts in Sweden? I'm sorry, I'm very nosy. Whereabouts in Sweden were you?
Let's see. We were in the south. So we were in a smaller university town called Lund, just outside of Malmo, which is right across the bridge from Copenhagen. So usually when I say Copenhagen, it kind of lights the bulb, because not many people have heard of Lund.
I went to Gothenburg a few times to do some work down there for Volvo in the old days when I was doing video production. So I know that's that part of it, but great. Okay. Well, look, anyway, that's enough geography for now. Let's, we've got the red bus behind you, just to confirm, if anyone's watching on YouTube, to confirm that Aaron is in London. Necessity. Let's talk about yourself and Book Rockstar. So first of all, you have a background, I think, in publishing before you started branching out sort of independently.
Yes. Yeah. So I worked when I was in Nashville, Tennessee, worked for one of the HarperCollins offices for a nonfiction trade division. So I kind of got my start on the publisher side in the kind of in marketing roles, working with some of the best-selling authors in the faith-based space specifically. But we also worked on some, you know, pretty neutral memoirs, self-help, kind of true crime books. So my experiences on that publisher side, working on nonfiction titles. And then when we moved to Sweden, I branched out on my own, you know, realized, you know, I still love publishing, still love working with books. So then branched out to work with different publishers as well as independent authors, and using my knowledge from the publisher side back in the US and bringing that to independent authors who, you know, don't always know where to go for a strategy or know exactly what they should be doing.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that in a moment. But I'm curious as to when you were at Nashville in the trad industry, how aware were you of the indie world?
I would say at that point, slight awareness, of course, but I mean, this was back before, you know, the pandemic, when I feel like a lot of the, you know, indie publishing just really started to skyrocket. So, you know, there was definitely the awareness of it, but not, I don't think I quite knew the extent of how many people were already doing it pre-COVID. And then that kind of lined up really well with me, you know, starting my own business and the pandemic. So really kind of, I think, grew with some of the other authors who were like, you know, I've got all this time on my hands. I'm going to give publishing a try. So definitely aware of it, but I've learned a lot more about indie publishing in my time post-traditional publisher.
Yeah. And was it that belief that indies don't have the support of a publisher? They don't necessarily know where to start. I mean, I think it's probably true for all of us when we first start until we join communities. So you created Book Rockstar, I suspect, to give a kind of professional help to people working from their kitchen table, not knowing where to begin.
Yeah, that's definitely a huge part of it. And you know, even on the, you know, traditional publisher side, there's authors who are going that route that need, you know, extra guidance, extra support. So I think all around, just noticing that there are authors in, you know, taking all different paths who still don't know what they should be planning. You know, they're not getting the support that they need. And you know, I feel like that's especially true in on the independent side before, you know, authors find these communities and groups that are, you know, so good at doing like the networking and supporting and providing, you know, tips and advice. So I think that there's a need all around of authors who just feel really lost and not sure what they should be doing.
Yeah, because we shouldn't forget that you're right. Trad authors absolutely are expected to market their books today, probably every bit as indie authors, and also sometimes don't always have that. Well, they should have the professional support from their publishers. Doesn't always work out like that. I know lots of trad authors listen to this podcast with not necessarily an intention to go indie at any point, but to learn marketing techniques, mailing lists and so on. So Book Rockstar, that is the organization that you created. Just tell us about that, what it actually does.
Yeah, so I created this as a way to, I would say, first and foremost, teach authors the marketing strategies, you know, both the like the fundamentals of how to be doing things, and but even further, why to be doing them and why it's important to take that extra second to think about how can I actually be connecting with my readers in a way that's going to be meaningful and impactful beyond just, you know, checking off the to-do list of, okay, I'm supposed to be posting on social media, so check. But actually working with authors to dive a bit deeper and say, okay, well, you know, how are you actually going to be talking to your reader? What are you going to be communicating to them to really let them know that this is a book that they should be picking up and reading? There's so much competition out there. So what can we do differently to make sure, you know, your reader knows exactly what they're going to find in your book? So that's kind of my main mission, is to give that clarity to authors of here's the ways that to be thinking about marketing that go beyond just the simple checklist, and also helping them with the confidence of, all right, now I feel like I know how I can do this well. I know how to get, you know, ad campaigns set up, or I know how to think critically about my messaging and how I can be connecting with my readers through LinkedIn posts, for example. So really, it's my main mission is the clarity, the confidence, so that authors can move forward and just really feel like they can be a rock star with promoting their books.
And do you do that with one-on-one consulting? Is that the heart of your company?
Yeah, so that's the main thing. So one-on-one consulting, and then also in some cases implementation. So if an author is coming and saying, I need help with XYZ, working with them on actually taking some of that implementation work as well. But I would say there's a lot of authors out there who are willing to roll up their sleeves and get the work done. They just need to be pointed in the right direction, and they need someone who's kind of guiding them through the process so that they can learn the right ways to think about these strategies. And that's done, at least through my company, through one-on-one consulting and working with them, whether it's approaching a book launch, sometimes even after a book launch, but they feel like, I think I've missed the window of opportunity, but being able to work with them and say, no, there's still all of these things that we can think about and all of these strategies that we can start, working through together so that you can get your book out there in front of people.
So it's not too late for someone to come to you. They don't have to be pre-publication.
Correct.
Yeah. And is it just you, Erin, or you've got a team now?
For the most part, it's just me. So I've got a few contractors who help out with certain things. But I would say mainly it's just me, especially with the one-on-one consulting. It's me and my authors chatting, getting to know each other, really diving into their book and what strategies are going to work for them. And then on case by case basis, if there's more implementation services that are needed, I've got kind of my trusted list of contractors that I work with for book launch implementation.
All right. So let's delve in a little bit deeper. So in terms of the areas, when an author comes to you, is there a kind of typical position that they're in? Are there recurring things that you see that authors are perhaps doing wrong or not giving attention to that you pick up on?
Yeah, I think the big things are start with the clarity of their message and who their target audience is. So I think the biggest thing is, my book's for every mom. And I'm like, okay, that's not going to be true. Let's dive a little bit deeper. So going through, exercises to figure out, okay, what's for this, the target reader of this book, what's going to be the biggest questions that they're asking themselves? What are the biggest challenges that they're facing? What are the desires that they have? And so authors can start to stream of consciousness, like, they're dealing with X, Y, and Z. And we start kind of writing down all of these different, what I would call felt needs that this target reader might have. So we start to zone in a little bit more of, it's not really just for moms. It's for moms who have, kids under 5 years old who are also wanting to start a business in their, in their spare time. And so figuring out, okay, what are the questions this person is asking? And we can start to create content that's going to speak directly to that person. And so, it's taking what an author might think is this, big pool of potential readers and saying, actually, we're going to find the bigger pool by making that a bit smaller. Starting with maybe the first 1,000 people who are going to read the book, what can we find out about them? How can we talk specifically to them? So that is a big, misconception that people have is they think to reach more people, they've got to widen it. And I work with the authors through messaging exercises to say, let's make that a lot smaller. Let's be a lot more specific with how we are actually talking to this target reader.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting because, of course, that's quite a good industry approach that they will all create some avatars for their typical customer. And I think you walk at the back end of a Home Depot or B&Q here in the UK, you'll probably find in the staff room a cartoon of their typical customer. And what might sound completely irrelevant to most people is what they do at the weekend, what their weekend looks like to them, the stuff they, how long, how many hours they work each week and so on. So you have an idea of your audience. that's very well trodden. But within the indie publishing world, probably even trad publishing is not brilliant, but in the indie publishing world, we don't do enough of that, I don't think. So I guess that's a really useful thing you can bring to us, is to think more about who your audience is.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what I hear too, like when I get halfway through the messaging exercise, you know, it's, you know, authors being like, I never really thought about it that way. Or, oh, I, you know, this is making so much sense. Like this. So it's starting to break, kind of like chisel away at the preconception of my book is for all moms, to getting a bit more granular and thinking, you know, oh yeah, like this is like the biggest question that, you know, that this reader would be asking. And this is what the like success scenario looks like for them. Should they read the book and implement the strategies? Here's what the failure, you know, outcome is, and being able to start thinking about the how they can talk about their book in these different ways is very eye-opening. And it, whether it's through traditional publishing or indie publishing, like there's the same, you know, questions and exercises that you can go through to, you know, start narrowing down, so that once it comes time to social media content, writing, you know, email newsletters, creating ads, you know, thinking of keywords, going through and really determining the audience and getting clear on the message is the first step to really do, you know, anything that you would need to do in the implementation stage.
Yeah. Just helps focus you. So every time you write something, you know who's in mind. I remember when I first started at the BBC, somebody drew a smiley face on the microphone in the radio studio to remind people that you're talking to somebody, which just helps you broadcast better. But this is the same sort of thing, is not writing some amorphous message. One thing occurs to me is that it's possible we're wrong as well as to who we think our audience is. And I think that's fairly common, is once you start marketing, you can start to discover. It's important, I think, then to react and be a bit more dynamic about your audience as you discover who your readers are.
Yeah, I think it can really... Once you're thinking about, all right, this is the book that I've written, here's what, you know, if you've got a certain method or framework that you're sharing in your book, once you start thinking through that a bit more, it might shift your focus to say, oh, well, this is the type of person who would really need to start implementing the strategies in this framework, for example. And that might look different from who you are initially thinking your target audience is. So if you've written a business or leadership book and you're thinking, oh, you know, it's going to be a book for other leaders, likely once you start diving in a bit more to what your book is actually talking about, it's going to be for people who might be mid-level management, who are, you know, needing to start, you know, implementing some of these strategies to eventually become a leader or get promoted into a more senior leadership position. So going through and diving deeper into the messaging, getting clarity on that, can really shift who you think you're, who you're promoting your book to.
Yeah. And commercially, I'm guessing there's a lot more people at that mid and lower level aspiring to be leaders than there are actual leaders. So commercially, it's probably quite a good market to aim for.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So that's people come to you, and that sounds like a good sort of typical thing that they might be misreading their audience or be fuzzy and unfocused at that time. And I imagine most of us probably guilty of that. And listening to this, I imagine if we were honest about ourselves, we don't have a clear idea who our audience is at the beginning. So that's a really good thing. And then do you move on to other things like the assets, like the cover, the blurb and stuff? You talk to authors about that and then make sure things are aligned?
Yeah. So when it comes to cover, really taking a look at the other books in the genre, does it match up? You know, are you using colors, fonts, even words in the title or subtitle that are going to be relevant to the readers in this genre? Same with the blurb. You know, as we're thinking about the messaging and what is the book actually, what's the transformation that the book is actually helping, you know, this reader go through, making sure that that's being called out in the blurb, because so often it's just, you know, a big chunk of text, just like, you know, very quick description of what the book is about, but you're not actually pulling out some of those relevant key phrases and again, felt needs that this target reader might want to see before they decide, okay, I'm going to add this to my cart. So that's part of it. Thinking too, you know, about the metadata. So keywords, categories, and again, going through and getting clear on the messaging can help inform some of those decisions as well, to think about, okay, it might not just be a leadership category. We might need to get a bit more micro and see what's going to be the most relevant for your book. It's diving into social media content. How can we use this to create content that's actually going to connect and make a difference for your reader? What's going to stand out and not just be a promotional post that, oh, you know, my book is available, but actually saying, you know, it's available, but here's what it's actually going to teach you, or here's why I wrote it. So really starting to dig, get a bit granular, working on, you know, actual content creation, or, you know, even just coming up with, you know, content buckets and helping them think, you know, in terms of, you know, thematically or topically, here are, you know, based on the exercises we've done, 6 different categories that, you know, your book and your expertise could fall into, and, you know, helping them think about content creation and book promotion in a brand new way. Cause it doesn't have to be buy my book, buy my book, buy my book. It can be, have you ever experienced, you know, bullying in the workplace? And you can talk about this topic that you might, you know, talk about in a book about the workplace. And it's kind of low-key selling your book, even without being a, you know, in-your-face advertisement.
Yeah, nice. Now, in terms of people working with you, people might be wondering how much this costs, how long does the service last, and how does the mechanics of this offering work for authors?
Yeah, so for the like one-on-one consulting, I'll meet with authors 2 times a month, you know, depending on maybe where they are in the cycle of a launch. It could even be increasing that to talking weekly, making sure that they've got everything, you know, everything set up. But assuming it's the kind of 2 times per month, and you know, that's also having conversations in between calls and saying, hey, I've written this up. What do you think of this? Like, does this seem to connect based on what we've done in the exercises? That I'll charge about $750, and I'll do US dollars a month for just the kind of that really like one-on-one, attentive to detail, actually working through, you know, let's think about things this way. Let's sit down together, you know, in some of these calls, and let's do the research. Let's set up your email, you know, lead magnet together. So that it's you're doing it the right way, and it's going to be set up, and it's not just throwing someone out to the wolves and hope they figure it out, but actually let's do this together and make sure it's getting done the right way so that you can actually have effective marketing strategies around your book promotion.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of technical support as well then, because some people do struggle with setting up all the nuts and bolts of that kind of flow, particularly, you know, giving away a lead magnet involves about 3 different organizations.
Yes. Yeah. So it's something that, you know, it's really like truly one-on-one, and you know, working together to make sure everything's clear, everything is you know, ready to go. I also have some digital products as well, for people who they might not be in the place to do one-on-one commitment, or maybe they're just more interested in self-paced learning. So those are also available, but I would say, I mean, as with I think most services, kind of having that one-on-one support can be sometimes the best way to have accountability throughout the process. I think I'm always guilty of, you know, lacking accountability with myself of getting stuff done. So when I work with, you know, my business coach, it's like, okay, we're actually checking things off the list. Like, you know, there's someone who's holding me accountable to, you know, post on social media, to do, you know, to get my ads running, to get more leads. So it's helpful that way too, to have someone who's actually a teammate with you throughout the process and cheering you on and making sure, you know, you're doing the exercises, you're, you know, getting the tools to be successful.
Yeah. We all need to be held accountable. It is it is definitely useful to have someone to do that, even if it's just that conversation that means that, oh, I'm going to have a conversation next week. Let's make sure stuff's done between now and then. And are you gathering some success stories, Erin? Are you getting some testimonials? Are you having some good experiences with your authors?
Yeah, definitely. So I went to, I was at the London Book Fair a couple of months ago and worked with a couple of authors who I met from that fair on just really doing some deep dive strategy. One author, it was post book launch. And so, you know, someone who felt like they missed the mark, you know, the first time around. And so that's, you know, been one-on-one work with them to really say, okay, here's how we can still move forward. Your book is still out. That hasn't changed. But what we can change is actually implementing strategy on the marketing side so that people can know that it exists. And then another author who is, you know, they're 6+ months out from their book launch. So it's, you know, sitting down now and saying, here is what, you know, strategy we can start thinking of to do now. But then here's strategy that you've got now, this timeline. So, you know, all right, when October hits, these are some of the things that you can start doing. So getting, you know, really ahead of the ball, getting ahead of the curve and knowing what to do. So there's, you know, authors really in all stages that I've been able to work with who, you know, they're finally getting the clarity on what they should be doing, whether it's, you know, as an evergreen marketing strategy or getting set up so that they know exactly what they should be doing on the kind of on the pre-launch side to make sure that once the book is coming out, it's going to be set up the best way for success.
Hmm. And it sounds like one of the side effects of this would be a sort of training in mindset, because I think working with you would force the author to realize that they're in a business and running a business.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, that's one of the kind of three pillars that I'll go through is that final piece is the mindset. So it's really taking off the author hat and putting on the marketer hat. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like I said before, overly salesy. Being a good marketer is really just about connecting with your audience, connecting with your reader in a way that's meaningful to them and showing them that you actually, you know, you get what they're going through and you've got, you know, a resource that's going to help them through it. So that's what I'll also, you know, work with the mindset piece on is, you know, the fuel for the marketing isn't, you know, for you to necessarily be this best-selling author. Maybe that will happen, maybe it won't, but really that main driver should be, you know, there's someone who's going through, you know, an experience, whether it's good, whether it's bad, but they need to get from point A to point B. I know that what I, you know, my expertise can get them there. And so using that transformation piece as the fuel for getting out there and posting social media content that's going to matter. One of the examples I've used in some of my webinars is Donald Miller is a business and leadership author who's just written a book for small business owners. And so, you know, he's posted social media posts that really started off saying, let today be the last day you're stressed out with your small business. And so it's having that mindset of, you know, you've got a key to a box that someone needs to unlock. Like, I don't want to feel stressed in my business, so maybe I should pay attention to what this guy is saying. So it's really starting to transform the, oh, I've got a new book about small business to let today be the last day that you're stressed about small business. Because, you know, as a reader, as someone in the target audience, that second option is a lot more appealing. I'm still being sold a book at the end of the day. It's just in a way that's more meaningful to me. So that's kind of the strategy in terms of mindset that I'll work with authors on shifting. So it's less about selling yourself, more about selling your message.
Solving someone's problem effectively, yeah. Which is a great marketing. Well, Erin, you better tell us where people can find you and how they get in touch.
Yeah. So my website, bookrockstar.com, got, you know, product services that are listed there. Got a blog that's there with some additional information, some articles. I'm on Instagram at the book marketer. So at the book marketer. And then I'm on LinkedIn as well. If you search my name, Erin Van Dyke, So I'd love to connect on LinkedIn as well. But yeah, bookrockstar.com is probably going to be the best hub for all of the content, all of the social links.
And I think you have did you say you had a launch guide as a yes. PDF you could perhaps offer readers?
Yes. Yep. So I've got a free launch guide on the website, so bookrockstar.com. I've also got a what I call Rock Your Book Launch Toolkit that I'm creating a code for $15 off. So it'll be a $5 book toolkit. So there's either a free guide or a kind of deeper dive toolkit, and the code is SPSPOD. So people can go download that for $15 off.
Sounds good. Well, Aaron, thank you very much indeed. The well-traveled Aaron Van Dyk, currently residing in London. How long do you think you'll be in London? Is this based on your partner's work?
Yeah. It's up in the air. We love living in London, but at this point we've been away from our families for a while. So there's always that pull to be a bit closer to family, a bit closer to friends. So we'll see where the wind takes us.
Yeah. Well, my suggestion is when October comes and it becomes grey permanently for 6 months, that's a good time to go back to Nashville.
Exactly.
I might come with you. Yeah. Aaron, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to join us today. Yeah, good luck with everything.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
There you go. Aaron Van Dyk, part of that service industry that's growing quickly around us, Mark. And I actually visited, along with Stuart Grant, who works here at SBF and is our website guy, amongst other things. We visited a print works in Peterborough. We visited Book Vault. If you haven't heard of Book Vault, check them out. So they are actually quite an old established printers in Peterborough, which is very close to me, about 20 miles away. But they have, again, just started to see the indie side of things take off, and they've really put their eggs in that basket. They think it's an exciting future for them, much more exciting and vibrant and dynamic than the old world of printing. So they are gearing their entire business around this. And if you simply want to print a book and you want them to fulfill it, so you can have you don't even need a Shopify account. If you've got a Wix website now, they're about to launch a plugin where you literally, I think you pay a bit more for that plugin, but basically you will be able to put your book up. People will be able to order it. It'll be printed on demand by Book Vault, cheaper than you can get printed elsewhere. And they will send it out as well, which is great. But you can also get special editions done. So if you want to do a Brandon Sanderson style Kickstarter with gold leaf or anything like that, they are the people to do that. And again, with fulfillment. And this is part of the sort of, again, fast growing. Two areas of fast growth, I think, at the moment. One is AI and the other is direct selling. It seems to be on the up at the moment. And quite a few authors, I suppose, probably genre dependent, but certainly the fantasy type authors are doing really well with direct selling, and not just books, but all sorts of things, merch and T-shirts and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a good area to get into. And the Wix plugin is quite interesting. I had a good chat with Stuart Grant. He actually came to visit us in Southwold when we were on holiday last week, and with his wife and his daughter as well, which was lovely. And we had a good chat about the plugin, and I think he's going to be offering a kind of a one-time service to authors who've used him to design their websites. And there's quite a lot of authors now where he'll be kind of switching that functionality on for people. So we'll see how that plays out, but it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, really good. And it was fabulous to go to the printers. It's always fascinating to watch a print run on. I mean, it's incredible how they do it. It's big, wide sheets. And of course, they're printing like 8 pages one way, 8 pages next way. And then the machine's automatically cutting at an incredible rate. And in the middle of this one long machine, I will put together a TikTok on this. We did do some filming. Is this brilliant sort of glass cage? You can see the big rolls going through, and every now and again it fills up like this, and it goes down again. And what it is, it's like a buffer. If the front end of the machine can't quite cope with the pace, it buffers up here before it needs to slow down the last part of it, or first part of it, I guess. It was fascinating. Loved it all. And there's still quite a lot of hands-on stuff. So there were people there doing some of the more bespoke stuff. Some of the hardback stuff requires a little bit of a hang. They work very quickly through stuff, but it will ultimately all be automated. And Book Vault have just announced their partnerships with the US. So they're starting to expand into the US. I don't think it'll be long before they open their own factory somewhere in the US, but at the moment they're using partnerships. relationships. So yeah.
Yeah, very good. So, lots of interesting developments coming through. And yeah, exciting time for doing this. There's options for authors all the time and new options. Definitely good.
Definitely. And it's ultimately still about visibility, which does bring me back to the Facebook ads for authors course and ads for authors course, which will launch in September. That's got to be your foundation. But if you've cultivated your own audience, and there are some authors I was thinking of walking around this factory who do have big fan bases, they really need to think seriously about having their own direct sales, because their margins are much better than you're going to get from any online retailer when you're producing and selling it yourself. Okay, Mark, that is it. That's it for this week. Thank you very much indeed to the team in the background and to Aaron Van Dyke. Aaron, it's spelled A-R-Y-N, but it's Aaron. I think it's Aaron. I've forgotten now. Well, you'll know because you just listened to the interview. Right, anyway, thank you, Ms. Van Dyke.
Oh my goodness. Van
Dyke. Don't worry.
No one's listening at this stage, James.
No. If you're still listening at this stage, you deserve some sort of medal. Yes.
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Email us for a free t-shirt.
I can hear the Oscars music
yes,
playing now. Yeah. Time to move on. Thank you very much indeed. All that remains for me to say is it's a goodbye from him.
And a goodbye from me. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get show notes, the podcast archive, and free resources to boost your writing career at selfpublishingshow.com. Join our thriving Facebook group at selfpublishingshow.com/Facebook. Support the show at patreon.com/selfpublishingshow. And join us next week for more help and inspiration so that you can make your mark as a successful indie author. Publishing is changing, so get your words into the world and join the revolution with the Self-Publishing Show.